Legal Q&A with Coulter Roche Lawyers, station sponsor.
The content of this program is intended only to provide a summary and general overview of matters of interest. It is not intended to be comprehensive, nor does it constitute legal advice. Any opinions or recommendations in this presentation have been prepared without taking into account your personal circumstances or needs. You should seek legal or other professional advice before acting or relying on any of the content.
And with you in the studio for their regular segment is Coulter Roche, and with me from Coulter Roche is Tara Patch. How are you, Tara?
Good, thank you, Mitchell. How are you?
Yes, very good, and thanks so much for joining us. I know that you've got the similar nasal voice as well. It's
yes,
just great,
please,
isn't it?
Please excuse me today.
That's all right. Join the club. I think everyone does at the moment. Good to get it early in the season, at least.
Exactly.
Now, today's topic is about dividing up superannuation, is it not?
It is, yes. We've had a few queries recently with respect to superannuation, and we just wanted to sort of clarify, superannuation is considered property or an asset for the purposes of a family law property settlement. So just wanted to take people through today the process of splitting superannuation. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to cover everything off today, and there's some different arrangements depending on different circumstances. But there is legislation that allows separating couples to value and divide their superannuation if necessary.
Yeah, okay. So, that is sort of a situation, for example, where one person has been earning sort of the bulk of the money in the family. They've built up their own personal super balance, whereas the other person who has been hasn't sort of made that money and doesn't have that super balance, so they have to look at sort of balancing that out, do they?
Potentially. So, superannuation, a split of superannuation is one way that we can equalise the assets of a relationship. So it may be that we can use a superannuation split if one person wanted to retain the family home or the right. former matrimonial home. It may be that the other person then keeps a greater share of the other assets, for example, superannuation. So it's just one option that we have and one way of giving people the assets that they're entitled to under a family law property settlement.
So when this happens, all the assets are sort of considered together, like you've got the property and then the superannuation, as you said, which is part of that pool.
Exactly. We have to look at the total asset pool, and from there we look at the various contributions of the parties, the future needs of the parties, and we've had someone go through this sort of process with you before. Yep. On the show, but what we can then do is, for example, if one party had superannuation of $100,000 and the other party had $50,000, then it's possible to equalise the superannuation entitlements so that both parties would end up with $75,000 in super, or, as I mentioned before, one person have a greater share of the super so that the other one can retain another asset.
And if they decide to split up the superannuation and move the funds to someone else, does that mean that the money is paid into that person's superannuation account, or is it a lump sum payment? How does it work?
Yeah, look, so it doesn't actually, a superannuation split doesn't convert the asset into cash. It will still be subject to the appropriate superannuation eligibility criteria. So, for example, when the relevant retirement age is reached. And what actually generally happens is that one portion, or the amount that's going to be split, will be rolled over into another account within the same super fund, into the name of the non-member spouse. Alternatively, it can that lump sum can be then transferred into another super fund altogether. So, if one party that was receiving a super split had an account elsewhere, you could roll it over into that account.
And as you mentioned, this is sort of can sometimes be used as opposed to selling off the family home and dividing that asset up.
It can be, yes, yes. So when we're doing a property settlement in family law, we can work with the parties to come up with whichever sort of split of the assets is going to work best for them. So, for example, if the, I'm making some generalizations here, but maybe the wife wanted to stay in the family home with the young children, and so to enable her to do that, then potentially maybe the husband keeps a greater share of his superannuation and she can keep a greater share of the actual property assets, home, real estate.
But that requires both parties to agree. So if they don't agree, does that just mean sort of all the assets assets are split down the middle?
Or? No, it doesn't work sort of split down the middle. It will depend on the various circumstances of the parties. But certainly parties can do a property settlement by consent or by agreement. The easiest way to do that is through a court order, a consent order. But you can also reach sort of private contracts or private agreements between the parties. Failing that, if the parties can't agree to how their assets are going to be divided, then one party will have to issue proceedings in the court, and the court will determine what share of the assets each party's going to receive.
Also, what happens if someone builds up a super balance before they became married or entered a relationship? Is the super balance that's accrued during the marriage only the part that's counted?
No. Look, the way that we can work a superannuation split is it considers all superannuation held by a party, and that can be subject to splitting. So it's not just the super that is accumulated during the relationship. That said, if one party did have significant superannuation interest coming into the relationship, then that would be considered an initial contribution on behalf of that party, and so may change the percentages that the parties are entitled to at the conclusion of the property settlement.
So that might be something people might have to think about if they do have, say, a significant superannuation balance and they want to get married. Do they have to think about that beforehand?
Look, there's not really a lot you can do to protect yourself in that sense. There's one option. It's called a binding financial agreement, and it's effectively like a prenuptial agreement, but they're quite risky. And in fact, our firm doesn't do them, and I don't know a lot of firms in the local area that do, just because of how risky they are. So it's one of those things that if you come into a relationship with significant assets, you can be comfortable that the legislation provides for that contribution to be considered down the track when if unfortunately your relationship does break down and you need to do a property settlement.
So is your main advice to people to just bear in mind that they could use superannuation to make sure that the assets are divided up in a certain way that they find better for them or better for their situation, just because they can use that super balance there, as you said, to offset sort of the family home or
exactly.
other assets?
Exactly. Yes, yeah. Look, it's just to make people aware that superannuation is included when we're looking at the asset pool, and that superannuation can be split. It can be a complex area, and what I've been speaking generally today about, your standard accumulation type superannuation interest, but there can be different steps involved for defined benefit superannuation interests and self-managed super funds. So I would just encourage people to be aware of it, but also to seek legal advice before proceeding with a property settlement, particularly one that might involve a superannuation split.
Yeah, so I suppose that's the main piece of advice, is to seek that legal advice so that people know that they're getting what they're entitled to and that sort of thing.
Exactly, yeah. Right, yes.
Well, good on you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Tara Patch there from Coulter Roach Lawyers. And of course, as we do with all these segments, we'll put that up on our website, mitchellsfrontpage.com, so you can listen back to it and get that important information. We'll go to a break. Joining us a bit later on this hour will be Nicholas Rees as well, talking about this issue of gay marriage in Ireland. It's 27 after 9.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Doy. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.